Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You're listening to the Big Party Morning Show on Channel 94.1.
Hello, welcome to the Big Party Morning Show on KQCH Channel 94.1 in Omaha for Wednesday, May 3rd. Today on the show, we had fun. We talk about party riding pantsless, I think, bareback on a horse, which is frightening. Molly's got it bad for Harry Styles. She is the hot MILF going for young boys. Brad Pitt's recovering that goofy fidget wheel that has teachers and parents going crazy. Also, if you want to message us, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And thanks a lot and enjoy the show.
It's now time for news headlines with Molly on the Big Party Show on Channel 94.1.
Well, the inmate accused of shooting and killing a deputy and injuring another is headed to court today here in Douglas County. And the hearing this morning is to determine whether or not the suspect will be heading back to Iowa. He can waive extradition to Pottawatomie County. The suspect allegedly shot and killed Deputy Mark Burbridge and wounded Deputy Pat Morgan at the Pottawatomie County Jail Monday before fleeing in a jail transport van. He's then accused of shooting a man during a carjacking, kidnapping a woman before being captured following a high-speed pursuit that led him into here into Nebraska. Now, the community is stepping up to support the family of the fallen officer, Mark Burbridge. There's a memorial fund that's been made at any Trainer State Bank location, or you can give to the Mark Burbridge Memorial Fund through PayPal. He was shot and killed Monday and leaves behind a wife and three children.
So yesterday, when they carried him, his body back to Des Moines, they said 140-mile-long tribute. People were, they put the word out on social media, on Twitter, and so people were out with signs and support on every overpass. Think about that. 140-mile tribute. People around here saw the tribute that went from when Kerry Roscoe was killed 2 years ago this month. 2 years ago, was that when the funeral was from St. John's at Creighton to the funeral site in Council Bluffs? People lined the site, and I think that moved people. So this was about 140 miles long, where people could find an overpass all along the route. The cops all witnessed it, said it was incredible, outpouring of support. So people kind of rally around moments like this.
Yeah, they do. It's sad.
Out with the old, in with the new. When it comes to the site of the old Civic Auditorium downtown, there's an Omaha Planning Board meeting that's going to be holding a public. There's an Omaha Planning Board that's going to be holding a public meeting today about plans for that site. The Tetrad Property Group, they've submitted plans to the city for mixed use development there at 17th and Capitol, and it has a price tag of $200 million.
I thought it had already been deemed. I thought they had already announced everything that's going in. This is just what they have to just publicly put it out there for someone to complain if they wanted to complain.
Yeah, you got it. There's a whole process. I mean, because it's public land or not, you know, I mean, it's so the planning committee, I'm sure it's pretty much a slam dunk what this developer wants to do. But obviously, if people have, hey, I don't want that in my backyard, this is their opportunity to do that.
It's all planning board meeting, mixed use stuff, right?
Yeah.
Apartments and
everything. Yeah. My library.
Yeah.
Fun library.
So it is. I'm excited about the library. I mean, you know, maybe they'll just add because we could use two. Maybe we could even have more than one. So today's planning board meeting is at 1:30 at 18th and Farnham. And it is, like I said, open to the public. House lawmakers could vote on a $1 trillion spending bill as early as today. The compromise bill would keep the government running through the end of September. It includes $15 billion in additional defense spending. And the U.S. State Department has issued a travel alert for all of Europe. The advisory, which was released earlier this week, expires September 1st. So this is a pretty big warning on account of the fact that, you know, heavy European travel season is the summer.
Everything that happened in Paris, we had the guy in England that ran over someone from the States. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That happened right there by Parliament. And then we've had Paris doesn't seem safe.
No.
I mean, I'm sure it is, but I'm saying in terms of a tourist, it's going to scare you off.
Kind of does.
I just wonder if also this is back channeling back and forth. You know, there's been some rumblings between the EU and the current administration. You know, there's talk of EU firing back and being like, well, maybe we're going to bring back travel visas where you're going to have to like not just get a free pass. Because right now, the way we have it, we have sort of an agreement with the EU, whereas Americans, we don't have to apply for visas. We can go and, you know, they check our passports and we head on in. And that might be changing. There's been talk about that. So with ISIS and Al-Qaeda carrying out, you know, attacks in France, Sweden, the UK, Russia, I guess ISIS. Yeah. ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Sorry. Americans are advised to exercise caution in busy areas like tourist hotspots and transportation hubs. So train stations, airports, that kind of thing. But yeah, it would extend all throughout the high travel season of the summer. And six people in France went on trial this week for publishing topless photos of Kate Middleton back in 2012. Kate and her husband, Prince William, are seeking $1.6 million in damages in the case. It's been brought against a group of photographers, editors, and and magazine execs.
They sold it to the tabloids, right?
Yep. Yeah. So Prince William wrote in a declaration, "My wife and I thought we could go to France for a few days in a secluded villa owned by a member of my family and thus enjoy our privacy."
I guess we wondered what the legalese is if you're a celebrity. I mean, we see Justin Bieber, they take naked photos of that guy standing on the stoop. What is your legal protection?
You're walking outside in public. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, so they're on a private estate. When you're a celebrity, or they say you're a public person, you don't get the same privacy
as I would.
As you would.
Right. I don't know on account of the fact that, you know, they're public figures, but this was a private estate. And somebody was using, you know, I mean, they also have different paparazzi laws over there. You know, his mother, Diana, was killed in a car crash after being chased by paparazzi. So there's like already a lot of bad blood and history.
So did those pictures ever get out there? Did they throw that in a magazine? Really?
Yeah,
Kate
they did.
Middleton?
Why would you do such a, that's terrible.
Topless.
Parties are looking it up.
I know. It's like, that is terrible.
That is
and
I don't remember that. Was that a big story when it came out?
Yeah, I do remember when it came out because it was one of those, it was what, 2012, I think they said it was.
Now, was she on a deck or, I mean, was she just walking around outside in the backyard topless?
I don't know if I actually saw the photos.
Okay, right.
I just remember the story because I was like, well, that seems really brazen. They were like, it sold copies.
I've never been with anyone before on any trips in which you're walking around topless.
Oh, really? The beaches in Europe, you do all the time.
No, I mean, the person I'm with.
I could see how the French would be like, what? It's no big deal. A topless beach.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I'm not French. I'm actually an English princess, so my tatas are off limits.
My tatas. Tatas.
Molly.
Jeez.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was I not keeping it classy enough for y'all?
No tatas.
My breastises.
There you go.
A Christmas story.
Does that still bug you, by the way? Does that ever bother you?
What?
Now, yes, Kate Middleton deserves all the privacy.
Yes.
People deserve their privacy. But just on a separate level, the fact that it is funny that men can go topless and women can't. Did that ever bug you in any part of your female journey that you're like...
Bugs the hell out of me.
Why do we sexualize ours, but the fellas can go topless and the
ladies
never
can't. Thought about it. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where I always think it's weird when guys take their shirts off, too.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. I'm always like, what do you need your shirt off for? I mean, like, it's one of those things where...
I mean, I don't mean sexy. I mean, that's a thing you get used to. Man, it gets hot out. You don't work outside. You want to peel your shirt off.
Yeah.
I always thought that was so funny.
I want the ladies next door staring out the window drinking their tea.
Well, sadly, as guys get older, the only reason why we stop taking our top off is personal vanity. It's so stupid.
Right. Oh, God, I take off
mine. You never think about it when you're a boy.
Yeah, I'll probably have the cops called on me. They'll think I was some topless woman walking around.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's funny is that men can legally go topless and have breasts larger than women.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
You know, it's something that I imagine if I felt strongly about going topless myself, I probably would have a more, a more politically charged opinion.
It's just it's just a funny, I've always thought, a decency level because they are, it's a beautiful thing, man.
Oh, it is.
It's mother's milk, man. It's not a sexual organ.
No.
Right? We have sexualized.
Hey, I grew up in Germany where it was just everywhere.
We have sexualized the boob.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
We're kind of like a joke other places because they're like, oh, you guys are so buttoned up. They're like, it's so funny how you don't care about some stuff, but you do care about others. Like,
that's how
we're all buttoned up about our bodies, but, you know, somebody can have an arsenal in their basement. Yeah. You're like, I guess. Like,
you are so hung up about it in your movies. The naughty stuff, but you have no hung up on violence, so yeah,
you would get it out there, your lady parts.
This is a Big Party Morning Show, streaming worldwide.
Listen online 24/7. Log on now. Channel 941.com.
All right, 402-938-9400. Good call. Yeah. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is the mother of a child with ADHD.
You're a mother of a child with ADHD. We were talking about those spinners, the little toys
kids
are bringing to school, and some people are saying that itself is a distraction. So your child has ADHD. How old is your child?
He's 13. Okay.
Okay.
So I want to say something really quick. I want to thank the teachers that know how to help these children and how to accommodate their needs, because that's the first thing for them, you know, a teacher that can understand their needs.
Yeah.
But besides the fidget spinner, there are other options, you know, like they have a cube for anti-anxiety and stress. My son actually likes to do origami. So
really?
He has a little piece of paper and he just starts doing origami. And the teachers know that he's listening to what they're saying because even though he's doing origami and they start asking questions, the other kids are quiet, and he's the first one who, you know, puts up his hands and say, yeah, I know the answer, even though he's doing his origami.
Okay, because we did origami when we were little kids.
Yeah. So
the girls would do it.
I mean, they can do stress balls. You know, they can do the bracelet thing. There's a sensor. There's a lot of things that these kids can use. But my major concern, what I want to, you know, put out there, is like, these kids learn in a different way. They're more hands-on, and maybe a traditional classroom is not the right setting for them.
Especially for boys. Because they think maybe boys don't learn like girls do.
Usually it's the boys. You know, it tends to be the boys. You have the normal, quote-unquote, learners. And if I was one of those kids, I would be pissed, to tell you the truth. I'd be very upset that this annoying kid with his little fidgeting device is just distracting me. But I think that, you know, maybe the state or the different school boards should start looking into, you know, developing a program designed to help these kids learn in a different way without disrupting, you know, their peers.
Right.
I mean, these kids are very intelligent, but I don't think the traditional learning environment is not working for them.
Okay.
And that's what some parents find for their kids is that, you know, you find the learning environment that's best for them. I mean, that's why you have other schools that, you know, I mean, it's interesting because you have like, quote unquote, traditional schools, which is like the schools we all go to, the parochial or whatever. But then like, you know, you have like a Montessori where they're like, no, maybe more interactive or like let it, you know, less formal.
It's a very big boy-girl split. They say boys show more areas of the brain dedicated to spatial mechanical strengths. That would be the fidgeting, stuff with their hands.
All right.
Whereas girls demonstrate a focus on verbal emotive processing. So it's easier for them to sit still and listen to talking, where boys are sometimes sort of like, okay,
jittery, whatever.
All right, show me how it works.
Okay.
And my kid has been like this since he's like 4 years old. Okay, like they discovered like he was completely different than everybody else since he was four. And so you spend a lot of money, you know, in treatments and medicine and whatsoever. But these little devices, I mean, these things are costly. And maybe a single parent like me is not able to afford it. So that's why, you know, origami, which is cutting, I can cut some pieces, you know, for him. Even in, in church, he takes the insert of the little program, and in church, he's doing origami.
So it sounds like he's going to be artistic, too. Can he do cool stuff like foxes and dragons?
He can do a lot of stuff in origami, I'm telling you. But the thing is that as a parent, it's just hard to see him struggle because it comes with other things. They are not, most of them are not good at writing because they are just, they're anxious and their handwriting is not good.
It requires focus in a different way.
It requires, yes. So, I mean, like, parents that their kids are going through this and they're finding it hard to do in the school, they have to speak up. You know, they have to talk to the teachers, the school board, and say, hey, we need something better for these kids. Because the teachers, they're doing whatever they can. And some of them are better prepared to deal with these kids than others.
Right.
Some of theirs have no patience whatsoever.
I feel like we need to stop putting labels on the kids and making it about the kid and more about the process. And it is what it is, not a you versus me. Let's work together, parents and teachers. This is a hard situation. It's not like, you know, he's not learning because it's Jason's fault.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, like, and the kids are, the teachers are great. The teachers that my kids have right now are great. They're helping everywhere, in every sense they can. But as they grow, it becomes more challenging, you know? And, I mean, it's just a no-win situation, not for the kid, not for the teacher, not for the other kid, and especially the parents. Okay. And if you have some parents that are not really into, you know, partnering with the school, then it's just going down the drain from them. Maybe they have a label for them.
Thanks for calling. What's your boy's name? What's his name?
My boy's name is Gabe.
Gabe, okay.
Sounds like a cute kid.
Hello, Gabe.
Just want to know.
Hey, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Okay,
you
know, I take care.
The numbers don't lie. They say, you know, anymore girls are getting better grades than boys. I know we don't have the money for this, but it's almost the level of, do you split the boys from the girls on some levels of the day when they're learning?
Oh.
Because
certain things,
girls now are distracted by the boys.
Yeah, at a certain age.
The traditional school system works for girls and it doesn't for boys. We're just too fidgety. That crisscross applesauce doesn't work for a lot of us. And that what I'm saying is we label boys, oh, he's got attention deficit disorder. Some of it isn't
girls.
Necessarily that. It's just we're boys.
Yeah, we're boys and
we get like fidgety sooner.
I don't know what it is.
They need boys need breaks.
I was super, super fidgety growing up.
You're listening to the Big Party Morning Show. Channel 94.1.
So Brad Pitt is on the cover of GQ magazine. They actually shot three covers, and it's all him with his piercing eyes, looking very, very thin.
Yeah, skinny. That's probably why they kept taking photos. They're like,
They were all shot at national. They were all shot at national parks. Isn't that interesting? I always find it funny when they're like, you know, this was our thing. We shot three covers. There's three separate covers of this GQ story on Brad Pitt. And I guess all of the photos were shot at national parks. And inside you see that, you know, he's salt and pepper hair, looking sort of sallow, very, very, very thin cheeks.
Do we know which parks?
Is this GQ? I'm sorry.
Do you know what?
GQ magazine.
Oh, I see. He was at the White Sands. He was at the Everglades, and he was at Carlsbad Caverns. Because I looked at the one, and I wondered, all right, Carlsbad Caverns. That's not.
You've been there.
I think we all have, haven't we?
I've never been to Carlsbad Caverns.
When you're a little kid,
so no, we didn't do a lot of national parks growing up.
I mean, from the photos, you couldn't tell where he is anywhere.
Okay,
it's like wherever. It's in New Mexico.
No, I mean it's Cool. Cool.
Carlsbad
backdrops.
Caverns is in New Mexico. So
what's he saying? He's
Brad Pitt is saying that he called the breakup with his wife Angelina Jolie self-inflicted. He said the past 6 months of his life have been, quote, weird. That was his term for it. He says that he's cut booze and pot out of his regimen. He said he can't remember a day since he got out of college when he wasn't drinking or smoking marijuana.
So obviously there was a substance level when he fought with the kid on the plane. So maybe he was boozing and smoking a little bit, got in a fight with Maddox.
Hey,
damn it, Maddox. And he had a father-stepson moment. that got him apparently physical. Maybe he cracked his kid. What was he, 14 years old? And then now because, and you know, she called the police, right? And
that was a
like,
mess.
That's it.
The one where the photo where he's on the White Sands cover, you know, the White Sands. Looks like he was rolling around a bunch of cocaine. Look at this. He's got sand all over his face.
Well, that probably wouldn't be a very good interview to be like, I remember a day when I've been on booze or something. And he's got coke all over his face. That's sand. I think that's sand
he
from
can
the White
feel
Sands.
His hair grow.
I know that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, why would they do? Hey, let's throw some sand on
I thought
on
it's
you.
Cheesy, too, because all three GQ covers, they highlight which location he's at. All three locations are listed on the bottom, but the Carlsbad Caverns is highlighted in one. The one that's highlighted as White Sands, he has white sand on his face.
Yeah,
you're like, is this GQ or a high school yearbook?
Where they're like, I put sand on his face to show that he was in the sand.
Now pose with that 17 so we know you graduated in 2017 and grab that pencil.
Right. Oh, I would assume the editor at GQ is like, tell me that's cocaine.
Please.
Nope. Oh, Brad Pitt says that he also admits that he's been seeing a psychiatrist and that the music of Frank Ocean has been very therapeutic for him. He is talking about how he thinks Frank, he said, I find this young man so special in regard to Ocean. He said, talk about getting to the raw truth. So he's going on a journey.
He's in full Sounds on like breakup he's, mode.
Yes. Frank like, Ocean.
That's his
he's
garden
got a sandwich
state.
Today.
I went through like a really bad breakup when the movie Garden State came out. You know, when you're just weird breakup, you just consume. If you get the right album in your hand, Garden State's really ethereal, has a ton of shins.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're just a mess.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for Brad. It's like he's not back yet.
He's not. Now when he's thrown out
if
bands.
If we went out for beers, we'd all be monitoring to how much he brings up the breakup. I feel good. And you're like, hey, how about the game last night, Brad? You want to do another one? No, we're good. I just thought we were going to talk about that today.
He does. Not her. and just not her.
Oh, man.
Speaking of the Shins, they are coming to Stir Concert Cove May 20th.
Man, look at you.
Yeah, tickets available. Yeah, so the Shins are coming. I loved that album, Garden State, and I loved the Shins album. They're so good. I can only imagine how great they're going to be live.
I just remember listening to that music, and there's a moment when you're dealing with stuff and you listen to music, though, that is helping you tap into sadness that you do need to walk away from it now because you're like, now this is just dwelling.
Yeah,
you can dwell and linger.
You play the song over because you relate to it. Like, the song understands me.
You get past therapeutic and you start delving into it's self-inflicted. You know what I'm saying?
I've been there. I think everyone has.
Like, all this Shin stuff is like bittersweet. But I also felt like I was constantly in a Wes Anderson film at my own funeral.
Love it. Did I walk up and I had like a wood finger?
Yeah.
And I was wearing a fur.
Yeah, and everybody's standing there at the funeral and they're like, Jeff died today.
Aww.
And we're all here and someone's shoveling dirt. And I'm like, I gotta get out of here. This isn't healthy anymore.
Parties in tennis shorts.
Yeah, I'm in swimming trunks.
Swimming trunks.
Yeah.
He has a scuba mask on.
Uh-huh. Oh, that Zizo, that Aquatic Life is on Netflix right now. I highly recommend watching it.
Absolutely.
Really?
If you have Netflix, take advantage of your Netflix subscription and watch The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Really?
It is really good.
I cry every time.
Bill Murray, Owen Wilson, Jeff Goldblum.
I haven't seen it. Okay. All right.
The beautiful Kate Blanchett.
Okay, The Life Aquatic. I'd write down all this stuff so I can somehow...
Check it out later. ABC has reportedly made a bid for the reboot of American Idol. The struggle is real. The fight is real. ABC contacted Fremantle. That's the company that produces American Idol. I guess they got in touch with them last week and inquired about like bringing the show back for March 2018.
And so that will be Seacrest Live, even though he's still doing Kelly Ripa, still doing the radio stuff.
That's the thing. I don't know. Seacrest has yet to be approached by ABC. I mean, his hosting, they'd be buying the show, not necessarily all the people. They'd get to cast their own stuff.
Well, that ain't going to work. I think they're just going to buy it and bury it, right? Wouldn't you? And why would you run it out?
Well, that was what they were talking about. I mean, NBC really wants it because they want to buy it and bury it because of The Voice.
Yeah.
But I don't know. ABC doesn't have a music I mean, think about it. ABC doesn't have, they've got Dancing with the Stars and they've got The Bachelor, but they don't have like an American Idol or a X Factor or any of that kind of stuff. So this would be their shot at the music competition reality form. There you go. That is your...
This brings back memories. Bad ones.
How many times did you get turned down, my friend? That is your celebrity news update on Omaha's number one hit music station, Channel 94.1.
That is dreadful. All right, this is like the bad club mix. That is dreadful.
He loved me when we interviewed Simon. Did he? Yeah, I think he did.
Or were you just another monkey morning show that he talked to and said, well, listen to me turn this monkey around in one line. I like you. You're going to say something mean to me. And he goes, I don't want to. I like you. And we were instantly
fangirled all over himself.
I know. I wanted to hang out with him.
And you know what he was selling? Why he was working so hard?
Yes. Yep.
Working radio shows in Omaha, Nebraska, because he was selling a new band called One Direction.
Yes. They're going to be big.
And he was like,
hello,
Omaha. He's like, great town. I would, you know, and I would really like you guys to come down and try out for American Idol in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, by the way, this band, One Direction, I think they're special. And we were like, Okay. No, he was actually genuine. And
very kind.
Yeah.
It's the Big Party Show.
Broadcasting from the Eat Fit Go Studios. On Omaha's number one hit music station. Channel 94.1.
And that's going to do it for this episode of the Big Party Morning Show on Channel 94.1. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, if you've enjoyed the podcast, please do us a favor. Consider subscribing on iTunes. It's totally free, and feel free to leave us a review. It only takes a minute, and you know, it really helps us build an audience, which is necessary for the survival of the show. So thanks again. You can also reach out to us at bigpartyshow@channel94.com, or specifically, if you want to reach out to one of us individually, you know what I'm saying, molly@channel94.com, jeff@channel94.com, or there's bigparty@channel94.com. Again, all individually, if you'd like to say something nice to Molly or even something mean to us, we can handle it. All right, again, but let's not forget, you need to visit our website, channel94.com. We leave some great links there to much of the stories that we talk about here on the podcast. We'd also like to see you on our Facebook page as well. It's at Big Party Show. We got Twitter, we got Instagram pages too. Find it, search it, like it, love it, do whatever you got to do. And you can also tune in to us live every morning, which you should be doing, Monday through Friday from 5 to 10:30 a.m. Central Time on Channel 94 FM in Omaha. You got a comment, you got a suggestion, whatever the case is, give us a call. Here's the number, 402-938-9400. Join in on the conversation. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. So have a great rest of your day. And as always, do yourself good.